You're now listening to Movie Night with your hosts, Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly.
Welcome, boys and girls, to the Movie Night podcast. I'm your host, Dwayne Perkins. Each week, I'm joined by my co-host, TK Kelly. We have a special guest. We watch a movie, and we talk about said movie.
We do. That's it. Very simple. That's what we've got, guys. Our guest this week, super funny comedian. She just did a Comedy Central half hour. Also has a new album called Simply the Beth. Beth Stelling, how's it going?
Hey, thanks for having me,
guys. Of course, thanks for being here.
Yeah.
What have you been up to lately, besides a half hour and a friggin' album? That's awesome.
Is that not enough?
No. What have you done this week?
Right, on your way here.
On my way here, I texted and drove. I made a movie. I called my mom, and I ran over a small animal. Let's see. I just did my last road gig of the year. Dead Crow Comedy Room in Wilmington.
Nice.
It's funny, you know, sometimes I feel like I don't look at the map until like...
Wilmington, Delaware.
North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
Neither do you.
Yeah.
yeah, there I is, just feel like I... Just,
he's been there. He thought he was in Delaware the whole time.
There is a Wilmington, Delaware.
Yes, there is. There is.
Yeah. It's the murder capital of the world, by the way.
That's why you brought it up.
I know. It's crazy.
Really?
I just heard that. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Wow.
Weird facts from Dwayne Perkins.
Yeah. Murder capital.
People in Wilmington, Delaware listening are like, what? No, it's not.
it's like next year,
watch. You guys are
gonna
get your very first call-ins.
Yes.
Your cell phone just starts ringing. Come outside. But no, it's not really, I started the sentence with, you know, it's funny, but it's not really that funny. I guess I just say, like, you know, you guys have done the road before. Sometimes I feel like I don't look where I'm going until maybe there or on the airplane when I'm watching our little plane on the back of the person in front of me's chair.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I kind of had the realization, mostly because I was being retrospective, but yeah, I was thinking to myself, where I've been this year, all the places comedy's taken me, I'm grateful. And, you know, I'm like, wow, I just flew all the way across our country to do four shows.
Yep.
I just was thinking that to myself.
It is. Right. It's crazy. I mean, I even think about just, like, regionally doing, you know, towns outside of L.A. in California. And you're like, I just drove this distance to do 8 minutes. And if you ask me tomorrow where that town was, like realistically, more than like generally north or south, I have no idea.
Exactly.
No clue.
I think that's the fault of a little bit of GPS in many ways.
Oh, like, yeah, it's true.
I definitely
yeah.
know my way around my neighborhood. I'm not like that blind.
Right, right.
But
you don't really know how to get anywhere.
No, I don't. And I really actually, I guess it's just you chalk it up to not paying attention because you rely on the GPS. But my mom and my sisters make fun of me because I couldn't tell you how to get around my hometown.
Yeah.
Because we didn't grow up privileged in the way that, you know, sometimes people grow up and they get their first car when they're 16.
Yeah. Or,
you know, I didn't have a cell phone until, and I'm 30, so it's not like I, whatever. My point is cell phone, you could have, some people had them in eighth grade.
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah, I'm not saying like boohoo me. I'm just saying like I wasn't driving around my town in high school. So I feel like when I go back, I couldn't tell you how to get
like
anywhere.
You know the bus routes.
Yeah.
Know,
yeah, I'm just like.
Well, yeah, you know certain things. I feel like that even. When I go back, I'm like, I could get there, but I couldn't tell you how to get there because I've forgotten everything, like the names of streets.
My sister will
no
go,
idea.
She quotes me and makes fun of me. She's like, I don't know. I think you take a left at the Sally Beauty Supply. She's just like, that's how I tell people to get places.
So that was like a little inception moment there. That was your sister's impression of you done by you.
Exactly.
Good call.
I
good
like
call.
That.
Very nice.
Great.
And you know, like when I'm traveling, it sounds like you traveled a lot this year.
It was a lot.
And it just becomes what you do, you know, and you just never know, even when you're in the airport and people, when they don't put their bag wheels first, and you're like, you just look at this person, it's like, is this your first time? It's your first time.
Yeah, yeah.
I get it. But if you...
But, like, there's a good chance it is their first time, right?
Right.
Sometimes.
Like, we always, right. I think so we equate to, like, the amount that... And I don't, to be honest, I don't do the road that often, but,
right.
like, compared to most people, I travel a ton.
Yeah, and
you do think about it, like, how do you not know this? And like, oh, well, because they're a normal person who stays at home, mostly.
And like, people, like, friends of mine who don't travel, like, they'll say, like, oh, where are you going? Oh, next week I'm going to Utah. Oh, what time's your flight? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Why would I know that?
No, like, not worried about it. I'll figure that out the day before.
Yeah. Right. And then everyone's like, you don't know what time your flight is? Like, no. What? I don't know. Why would I know that?
It changes. You're, when you start doing this, it changes your mentality for travel because it's like, that used to be a big deal. Like flying somewhere is a big deal.
Right.
To most people because, you know, you're doing it once, twice a year.
Oh, I've helped a grown woman buckle her seatbelt.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How grown?
Well, Maybe she was on the older side, but okay. still. Yeah.
So it could have been her first one.
Could have.
She could have been an old lady who was like, fuck it, I'm doing it. I'm fine. I'm not going to be afraid anymore.
Yeah.
And then she got there and she was like, I don't know how to work anything. I don't know
how to
do this.
She's like, this isn't worth it. Recycled air. I experienced two people yarfing.
Really?
Yesterday.
I've never, first of all, yarfing. I really enjoy it. I know exactly what you mean, but yeah. I don't know. Is that a term?
No. But I just, it was so traumatic. I basically sat behind her. I was like, I haven't read a play in a long time. I oddly read a play on the flight yesterday. It was a Martin McDonagh play.
I feel like you do anything but to I was like, distract yourself
chewing
from
gum,
that shit.
Like with my sweatshirt over yeah. my thing. And I was like.
Two people. Now, was it on the same flight?
No, one girl in front of me and then one before we ever left the airport.
Now I'm going to play the role of the listener who may not know what yarfing is.
Oh, just vomit.
I mean, okay. I feel like it's implied. Yeah.
I remember the first time I heard the word vomit. It was in first grade. We'd always called it barfing. Sorry, yeah. everybody, but we just call it barfing at home. There's certain things you. And then I remember the principal was like, you know, Miss Duval, your daughter's vomited, and it was sounded so professional. Yeah. I was just like, what does this mean?
That's funny.
I have vomited.
Yeah, it's very formal.
I learned vomit first, actually.
Oh, interesting.
See, I think I was a puke guy. We're all over.
Puke.
I actually learned yarf first.
My great-grandma.
I drove a Yaris.
That's funny. I've never experienced that on a plane. That's a little like...
It was yucky.
Because, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just the recycled air. You can. It just, there's nowhere for it to go.
No, there is nowhere to go.
It's brutal.
Ugh. And for some people, that'll spark them.
If there's danger of that becoming like the scene in Stand By Me where everybody loses
yes.
it at the
and
same
I,
time.
That happened in first grade. We were making gingerbread and Rodney ate way too many Red Hots.
Fucking Rodney.
Yeah.
It's always a Rodney.
And it was like, all the kids are like.
Just dominoes falling. Oh, yeah. That's awful.
So I just had to like not focus. I was like, this is not happening. This is, everything's fine. I'm fine.
But you made it. You made it through the flight.
I made it.
I feel like in that situation, it should be okay to drop the oxygen mask. Like, you
oh,
know,
you're
hey,
right.
listen, we know someone threw up and yeah. Here's some just straight
or
some
just,
straight oxygen.
Just pump some gas through the vents that's going to just make just everybody go to sleep for a while.
Right, right.
It's all right. Like, I don't know how exact that is.
How about some Febreze? That
would
have been nice.
Right? What did they do? They just...
They didn't do anything.
Oh, God.
She handed the bag to the flight attendant. Oh. God, you guys. Handed the bag to the flight attendant over this poor girl. She was this very tall, like... I noticed how tall she was. She was wearing a volleyball thing. I was like, she's an athlete. Anyway, she's sitting on the end. And even they had... It wasn't a packed flight, and they were encouraging people to move around. So yeah. it was like nobody was in our middle seat. And she could have moved and not sat next to this couple, but she stayed. Then the girl barfs. Then she hands her barf bag over the volleyball player. Then he takes it to the trash, and then right back to serving drinks. No wash.
Oh,
whoa.
Oh,
and I'm
no.
not saying like he wiped up barf, but he touched a barf bag.
You got it, yeah.
But he didn't touch barf necessarily.
But if you are barfing and you're like, you know, and then you tie up your little bag and then hand it.
He could have definitely touched barf.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is very upsetting.
Sorry,
I'm getting
everybody.
On a plane on Friday, and I'm going to be thinking about that the whole time.
I just want to go to my mom's house and sleep for 2 weeks over the holiday.
Now, you said this is that was your last road gig for the year.
Yeah.
And what are you doing for Christmas?
So, what I'm going to do is stick around the rest of the week shows, and then Christmas time, I'm headed home to Dayton, Ohio. And I'm going to stay. I was going to,
like Dayton, Ohio.
Go see who I'm dating in New York, and I was going to go to, and I was like, no, I'm going to Dayton, Ohio. I'm going to sleep for 2.5 weeks straight.
Yeah.
Cryogenically freeze myself, and I'm gonna come back and from because I start the road again January 8th.
That sounds like so. You've got your Christmas vacation.
Yes, I do.
Oh shit, Dwayne! That is this week's movie, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation from 1989, directed by Jeremiah Chechik, starring Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo, Randy Quaid, and other people.
The guy from Johnny Galecki from
Galecki, Juliette Lewis.
Yeah, yeah.
So many
the
great
kid
people.
The kid combination of all the. Of all the vacation movies, I think these two went on to be the most famous.
I would
probably
have to
the
say.
Most famous put together.
Yeah.
What did we think of this movie, guys?
Ugh, it's a classic.
Right.
I think it may be the most the movie I've watched the most in my life.
Interesting. I'd agree with that probably too, and without thinking about it, but it just it's always there during the holidays, and like I didn't own it until this year.
Really.
And I was like, how do I watch it all the time though? It's just always on. It pops on Netflix this time of year. Like it's the best.
Yeah, I think this movie is sort of like, I don't know if it really happened. I don't know if this is a real thing, but we all there's a common belief that at some point Chevy Chase stopped being funny. And then I guess he got it back now with Community. I don't know. But
I think people just stop wanting to deal with him because he's an asshole. He was always funny.
Yeah. Well, this movie, you plug it in, you go, okay, yeah, I get it.
This is at his peak, like showing a little bit of all of the things he did.
And he's
the best.
A prototype for a lot of people. A lot of people are doing that in movies now.
For sure.
And I don't know if you guys see this. Not like you're like, you wouldn't be able to recognize this, but he is really hot.
Well, that's, you know,
he's a hot, handsome, funny doof.
It's such a funny thing that honestly was a revelation for me, because I think the first time I ever saw Chevy Chase was probably in this movie.
He's sexy.
And he plays such a goofy dude. Mm-hmm. So as a child, he always read to me as a dork.
Mm-hmm.
And like years later, I don't remember what movie it was. I mean, it was probably just old SNL. And you heard the way people talked about him, and you're like, oh my God, this guy's like insanely good looking. Yeah. You just, I don't know, behind the Clark Griswold exterior, you don't really get it.
Well, he had to do that so we'd laugh at him, because everybody's so angry. They're like, you're not allowed to be attractive and funny.
And a fucking asshole.
Yeah. You don't get everything you want.
Yeah, well, he did. He did all right. This is like, we did Fletch recently, which is super Chevy Chase, like, he's very funny, but the movie doesn't stand up that well. This movie just never gets old.
It never gets old.
No.
And I feel like it may be about, is it attributed to one writer? Is that what it is?
It's John Hughes.
It's John Hughes,
Okay, so, it feels like maybe John Hughes, it feels like it was a writer's room and they all told the worst thing that happened to them at Christmas and they put it into one movie.
Yeah, I think actually the director is credited as one of the writers too. I think there was a few writers. Okay. But it's John Hughes, and like everything he touched for that certain amount of time was like, it's fucking gold. It's insane. I don't know that I don't think I've ever heard anybody say they didn't like this movie until a couple weeks ago, friend of the podcast and former friend of mine, Ricky Carmona. Ricky Carmona, who loves movies. I told him I was going to call him out on this shit. He thinks this movie is not funny.
What?
He's an insane person.
What's his beef with it?
I don't know. I kind of get... if you watch it now, like, there's not a ton.
How about Where Are All the Black People? That might be why he doesn't like it.
Well, in the summer.
Ricky's not black.
Yeah.
No, but honestly, this is like, I guess it's very slapsticky.
Yeah.
So it's not for everybody. And there's not a lot of like laugh out loud dialogue. The humor's very subtle. It's more in like, I don't know if you read it on the page if it would be super hilarious, but you see Chevy Chase do it, and you're like, how do you not laugh at this?
God, even when he's sliding down the ladder, it's just dumb.
Ridiculous.
Out loud when I was watching it.
It's like,
comes down the ladder.
It's like a silent movie with dialogue. Like, he gets into all these like hapless situations, and like the sledding down the hill, the ladder, the talking from inside the bush. Like, it's all very goofy.
That's exactly what it is. It's like a silent movie. He's like Charlie Chaplin. But how underutilized is Julia Louis-Dreyfus? I mean,
she was young, man. Yeah, she didn't get any. She's just so dope,
and they could have used that a little bit more. But I just liked her house. Like, I don't know, like, it was so dated but so futuristic at the same time.
Just 80s douches. The thing I
Brookstone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was like they were like, you can't be that much on your high horse when you clearly live in suburbia. Like, you're, but they're like, judge their neighbors so much. Like, oh, the fucking Griswolds with their white bread family. And one of my favorite parts in this movie, still, every time I watch it, that I laugh out loud at is when they're like, where are you going to put that tree? And he's like, bend over and I'll show you.
Uh-huh.
He's like, how dare you?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I wasn't talking to you. Like, that's like, which I love about Clark Griswold is that he's super goofy, super family-oriented guy, but he's also, like, got this weird, dark edge.
Super passive-aggressive.
And he also, like, kind of, he tells the girl in the store that his wife is dead, and then, no, she's not dead, I divorced
her. I love
that
scene.
Like, he's such a antithesis of, like, the good family guy in certain moments, but then other times it's like he's devastated because he can't put a pool in for his kids. And it's like,
he is, he's a perfect family man. And I will say, for being when it was made or whatever, it's nice, it has a nice realistic quality. I don't know why I'm saying this, it feels maybe anti monogamy or woman or something, but the truth is, like, we all have crush. You can be in a marriage and you crush, or you know, they show that in a fun, playful way where he's like, you know, Russ catches him when he's buying lingerie, but even with the, what is it, Christie Brinkley
in the first one, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's funny in that
way. Well, it's
harmless. But Beverly's amazing and hot, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's super hot, yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's very harmless, and like, when he has the realization that Russ is there, he does like this silly double take. Like, I don't know who could do that kind of thing.
Can't see the lines,
now.
Russ.
Yeah.
Can't see the lines.
So much of it is, and that's what I mean, like, on paper, is that, how do you write that moment really funny? But if you get the right guy to do it, yeah, it's amazing.
Right. Well, the thing about this movie, too, is you have to let it be what it's going to be. Like, I could picture writing this movie and giving it to someone and them giving you just the worst notes ever. Like, because you have to picture the tone. The tone is not on the page. Like,
no, yeah.
The comedy's not on the page, but no, the tone isn't either. And this movie is a movie where, like, something happens ridiculous, and then the next scene, it's like it didn't happen. And mm-hmm. you just have to be okay with that.
And it bounces around, too, on, like, what world it lives in.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's very real in moments, and then, like, he's sliding down a fucking mountain at, like, 100 miles an hour. And it's so silly.
Yeah.
And it's, but, you, like, it just doesn't bother you.
I love the squirrel entry. I love when they're just in bed, and they got sap on their hands.
Oh, that's the best.
He touches their hair.
Grabs the lamp and, like, pulls the lamp off. It's so stupid, but it's such, like, it's sort of a lost humor. Like, they don't really do that sort of humor anymore. Nobody attempts it.
Jim Carrey sometimes gets clipped.
Yeah, but even like, you know, when he was doing that, like, yeah, that was a while ago now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's
that's true.
It's just I don't know, this feels to me like this is the Christmas movie for me.
Yeah, I feel like the one thing I would say is watching it takes them forever to pay off the gas thing, like, because they set it up.
Yeah, so they keep bringing it. They kind of keep, all right. Like, it's,
maybe they did that because they're like, it's going to be very unbelievable.
And there is a great slow build, too. Like, how much do you feel his frustration every time you watch it with the lights not working?
Yeah.
Like, you feel it. It's a slow build. Like, they could have solved that very quickly, but it happens over several scenes. And, yeah, like, it's such a simple thing. And you sit there and you're, like, losing your mind for him.
But not too long. Sometimes it's annoying, the whole we know something you don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
It can be
very
annoying.
Well, exactly. But the thing is, you also don't, like, you don't know right away why it's not working.
I love when she just comes in and flips on the thing to get something from the fridge.
She's great. She's such, like, a, she's the perfect kind of foil to Chevy Chase in this. Because she keeps it sort of grounded, but then in small moments, she is super funny and, like, cutting.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. She's, they were great together, and that's why when
Chev,
they were.
It was made into a sitcom this year. Bev and Chev.
Are you serious?
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm. On NBC maybe or something? I don't think it went.
Oh, my God, really?
Who was playing, he was playing himself?
Yeah.
Or they were older?
They were each playing themselves.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's Beverly D'Angelo and, I almost said Clark W. Griswold, Chevy Chase.
Same thing.
Yeah, they made it into a sitcom.
But I didn't even hear
about
that.
But they were playing
themselves,
these characters.
And it was called Bev and Chev.
Interesting.
And I think, it didn't go. We should look up
that. Let's go find
it. The parents are great, too, because you believe that these guys, especially his parents, it's like those two parents create this guy.
Oh, yeah,
they're
oddly
supportive, supportive of everything he does.
Yep. Yeah, they're very sweet, very genuine, and then, like, her parents are a little bit harsher and
they're
a
judgmental.
Little bit, they're realists. And, they differentiate that really well. Oh, the whole family, really, like, there's no character in that movie where you're like, they didn't bring anything to it.
Right. They're all utilized, I'd say. And, like, knowing from experience, Beverly or Helen's parents, like, when you have parents that are like that, you are like Helen. So I grew up with a stepmom who would, like, send things back and, like, complain at a waiter, and I am the opposite. It makes me so uncomfortable. I'm like, there's hair in this, but I'll eat it.
I'll eat the hair. It's fine. Yeah.
I know it wasn't your fault, and please don't tell anybody. I don't want you to get fired.
That's great. I think it's a real family. Like, they give you that feeling, even the extended family. You can identify those people in your family.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, that is my great uncle who's always kind of annoyed at everything, or that is my, whether it's cousin or uncle or somebody, everybody's got a cousin Eddie out there who's, like, kind of trying to just get by the easiest way possible. And it's like,
or mooch off you, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, and it's so, like, that, by the way, can we just RIP to Randy Quaid's sanity? Because he was fucking amazing before he lost his goddamn mind. But he was, in these movies, so unbelievably funny.
Yeah.
Like, this is a great movie, and Chevy Chase is amazing in it, but if you took Randy Quaid out of this movie, I don't know if it becomes like that big, like that it lives forever like it does, you know?
So many, yeah. And they even did Senile, right? You know, Aunt Bethany and Lewis.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. I love the SWAT thing because it's sort of like everything is ridiculous in the
movie. Yeah.
So like they don't. There wouldn't be that many SWAT like for like a terrorist attack like that. That was they're like, you know, rappelling down the house.
Yeah, and it's just and then immediately after they're like drinking eggnog with them. Right, they don't have to go back to, you know, anywhere like their homes on.
But it's also kind of perfect too. I mean, this is me really stretching, but it's like a nice commentary. Like, what, a powerful white man's in trouble?
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
right. Like,
well, I always think too that it's kind of appropriate that this movie has that old school animated intro because it kind of sets you up for like this movie's sort of a living cartoon and like just be okay with it. It's fine.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah.
I love the music. That song is like, I don't know how you would describe
that's
it, but it does give me feelings.
I don't know what, but it makes me feel things.
It's Mavis Staples, if I'm not wrong. I looked it up because I was like, I love this.
It is. It's great.
Yeah, I think it's Mavis Staples. But because I looked it up as I was watching, I was like, this song is... It gives me.
Gotta love Mavis.
It gives me the feeling.
Old Mavis. Let's.
And then they have a Bing Crosby in there too.
Yeah.
For Mala Kaliki.
Yeah. That song. Both of those songs now. Like, I love this movie, but every time I watch, I'm like, oh man, yeah, this is going to be in my head for like a month or so. It's going to be a little rough. Let's jump into these games. Each week we do a handful of questions that relate to the movie in particular. Let's start this one off with. So give this movie a proper tagline. I was looking up the taglines. We do this game fairly often where we rewrite it, but this one didn't have really good ones. I don't know why. Maybe family movies don't have.
Right.
I'm not really sure, but let's come up with a tagline. How would you describe this movie? One sentence. What do you think, Dwayne?
Oh, it's tough. I'm going off the top because I couldn't think of anything, but I think it's go big or stay home.
See that? What do you mean you're going off the top? That's great. That looks like I see that on a movie poster already.
Go big or stay home.
Well, how about you, Beth? What do you think?
Go big or blow up your home.
Yeah. Or go big and stay home. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, I said, you know, Christmas vacation, making time with your family look like a holiday.
These are
very
good.
Nice.
I'm feeling a little bit insecure about mine now.
I wish I had eggnog. Like you, I wish I was drinking eggnog as you said that.
Out of a little Bullwinkle head.
Yeah.
Mine is 'tis the season for a legitimate mental breakdown.
When he gets mad, it's the best.
It's like it's devastating too. It's like you feel his pain in this movie because he's such a sweet guy and he's trying to make everything great. And he admits that it's his idea. The whole thing is like, you know, when his wife is like, she's the one who's scared that the whole family's coming over. And he's like, look, they're family. We love them. We have to do it. And everything goes against him. And he just slowly loses his fucking mind.
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen my mom kind of slowly do that on Christmas. Like when shit just starts, like all the dominoes start falling the wrong way. And she's just like, Christmas can be either the best day ever or the fucking absolute worst.
But also, I think dads changed. Like, this was just the tail end of when, like, a dad could do no wrong. And then now, it seemed like dads can do no right.
Yeah.
And so here's a guy who was like, just unilaterally say, I'm buying a pool, spent all this money, didn't consult with the wife.
Oh, he made that decision. Yeah, that wouldn't fly,
like,
man.
Oh, okay, that's great.
She's so excited when he tells her.
Yeah, she's not like,
I'm getting us a pool. She's like, fuck yeah, a pool.
I mean, it's almost like Chevy Chase's, this character is the reason why dads, they took a step back and said, you know what, we've given dads too much power. Let's dial it back a bit.
I sort of feel like maybe that dad was already gone, but like Clark is supposed to be the, like his coworker even says to him at one point, like, you're the last true family man. Like, you're the only dude I know that would do this. And it's, I feel like Clark kind of goes back to like, more a time of like maybe a Bing Crosby or like a Jimmy Stewart movie character, but he's in you know, a more modern world. Let's go to this next one. Let's make a drinking game out of it. So every time something repetitive happens in the movie, you take a drink. Let's see. I'll start this one nice and easy, get you super fucked up. Drink every time Clark gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a Looney Tunes character in this movie. He's like constantly really like doing things that could damage himself severely, and he always fine. He's Wile E. Coyote. Like he just walks back in. Yeah. He's like, yeah, I'm it.
And you know, I don't have experience to that extent, but I will say, like, I've seen some crazy things happen when no one else is around. You know, like, not like falling off a ladder and stuff like that,
yeah,
but almost like I've dropped things and like glasses that, and I catch them with my other hand.
Oh, yeah. Well,
like,
you know, it could have gone like really badly. Yeah, and it like, didn't. Yeah.
When, and I'm like, I wish someone was here to
never.
See what just happened. You know, I was going to go with the same one you did, but I was going to say every time someone died, every time someone should have died is what I was going to say.
Oh, should have died. I was like,
but
wait,
I think I'll say every time he loses his shit.
Yeah.
Which is always
he
enjoyable.
Snaps it like a handful of times. The last one is the best.
Or when he like digs at someone. Because there's a lot of like, he won't confront anyone directly, but he'll say.
He says things with
like,
a smile.
Like
on
his boss walks by and he's like, hey, kiss ass, and you're a kiss ass.
Yeah,
and you're
yeah. Kiss
like
my
anytime
ass,
he does anything like that, because I love it.
Well, that's such a Chevy Chase thing that he did a lot in Fletch, too.
Yeah.
Where he would just say asshole things with just this big smile on his face. Very similar in Caddyshack, too. Like but he's the
and
best.
And apparently in real
the
life.
The best ever. At right. I think in real life, he's not nearly as subtle.
Right.
Maybe he should have been. Just say it with a smile. Everybody would have been okay with you. What do you think, Beth? What's your
I
drinking
said every
game?
Time. Either every time Clark does a crazy face, because he does a...
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Or every time he says Helen. His wife's name.
I don't want to ruin your life right now, but I'm pretty sure her name's Ellen.
No, it's Helen.
I think it's Ellen.
Well, we can.
It's Ellen. It's Ellen.
Is it?
You know,
we can take it to the streets.
I looked it up because I was unsure my whole life too.
See, you know what? I swore it was.
It sounds
like
he
Ellen
says,
when I was watching it this past time. I really did hear Ellen. I really did, but I convinced myself it was Helen.
I've always been the same.
Helen.
Like, this is the first time I looked it up, and I realized that because I went to
it's
write
Helen.
It.
It's Helen, yeah.
I went to write
I thought it.
It
was Helen, too.
I went to write it down, and I was like, I've seen this and the original Vacation and even, like, Vegas Vacation a pretty good amount. Like, how do I not know her name? Pretty it just sounds, because I think because he yells it so often,
Helen.
It sounds like Helen. It does. It's Helen.
Okay,
mine's
every time
fucking
he says
blown.
Ellen.
Every time he says Helen, you will be fine. You can drive home.
Ellen.
Let's see. Which one should we do last?
Wow. I don't know. The recast?
I like the recast.
Yeah, all right. Let's try to recast it with the disclaimer that I don't think it's possible. I had the hardest time thinking
of
close. Anybody.
I feel
why don't you lead
really
us off?
Good about
you
mine.
Lead us off, and then we'll say ours and feel better.
Clark is Chris Pratt.
Oh, that's strong.
He's
that's
hot.
Strong.
He's so funny.
Is he too hot?
And he, like, think of him as Andy Dwyer in Parks and Rec.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. If you maybe have him put on a few pounds again, too.
I don't think he needs to
just
put
a
on.
Couple. He's
listen,
too good, is what I'm saying.
I hear the jealousy.
I know.
And then... Helen, just kidding. Ellen, Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah, she's that's perfect.
Yeah, but there's so
I
many
really
other Clark. There
that.
Are other Clark options. I thought of like Will Arnett.
Yeah, yeah.
Jason Segel, Jason Sudeikis. I even thought of Rob Delaney actually.
I think Rob Delaney. Here's the thing: is I had a hard time thinking of anyone who could do physical comedy that well.
I think Chris Pratt. Did you see Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah. Yeah, he's good. I think, you know what? He makes the most sense because right now in my heart, all I feel is like, no, he can't have everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what everybody thought about Chevy Chase, too.
I think it's Chris Pratt.
Yeah, that's a good call. I actually went with, I thought Bill Hader. I think Bill Hader could do the physical part.
Like, I
can
see
and
that.
The silly faces. Like, he can pull off a very old school type of comedy and get away with it. So, but I really struggled with that one. And then for Ellen, I said Maria Bamford.
Oh, yeah.
I would like to see a little different take on her, and I think everything Maria does is the best. And then Cousin Eddie, and I hope he hears this, I would love to see Dan St. Germain just crush that. Just be like the worst version of himself that he could possibly be. Not, I don't think he could be the same kind of Cousin Eddie, but I think he could be that kind of character and kill it.
Yeah, Dan would be great in that. I said Danny McBride.
Danny McBride, yeah. Whenever you need a weirdly likable piece of shit, Danny McBride is the guy you call. What do you think, Dwayne?
Those are all great. I think I always thought this guy was the modern-day Chevy Chase, so I went with Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah,
I
see what you mean there.
He may be too hot, but he does
he may be too hot.
He does deadpan really well.
He did,
you're right.
People,
I think you're right.
Yeah, he's amazing. Like,
he is amazing.
And then for the girl, I just went with Caroline Ray because she's funny. She may be the age she would, weight may not
work. She would be very old to be married to Ryan Reynolds. Right.
But I've always dug Caroline Ray.
She's hilarious.
If anyone listening knows her, if she knows. Anyway, so.
Could you give her Dwayne's number?
Just, you know, whatever.
Yeah, anybody could text Caroline Ray that Dwayne is super into her.
Now, I know this wouldn't work based on the race and everything, but I want Rusty to be the boy from Modern Family, whose name I don't know, but the son.
Oh, yeah.
Ed O'Neill and Sophia Vergara.
Yeah. I think.
Oh,
you cast the kids and everything.
The sweet
you
little
went all
chubby
in.
Boy.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, he's great.
I want the daughter to be the girl from Kick-Ass, who's in a lot of movies now.
Yeah.
She looks just like the woman from Sex and the City, a young version of her. You know, it's really weird.
I went too old on the kids, but that's because I don't know enough kid actors. But I love what you said there with the kid from Modern Family.
It's hard to cast kids, yeah. I mean, although they just fucking recast them every time they made one of these movies. Yeah. Like, yeah, just get the ones.
And Cousin Eddie, I hadn't thought about it at all, but I'll just say, since we're here, let's make it Mike Epps. Let's do it.
Yeah. Mike Epps would be great. I can actually see him in that hat and the robe.
Yeah.
I feel like he's been in a movie where he wears that hat already. Like, yeah, he's great.
I said for Frank Shirley, I thought it would be fun if George Wallace did it.
Yeah, George Wallace. Brian Doyle Murray, bring him back. He's great. Brian Doyle Murray is so great at like the corporate asshole guy who's just completely out of touch with the world. Amazing. And very forgiving when it comes to kidnapping. That's real big of him. That about does it this week, guys. Beth, thanks so much for hanging out.
Thank you for having me. Can I just say one thing?
Yes.
For Todd and Margot, the asshole neighbors.
Yeah.
All I could think of was X-Files, and I was like, this has to be played by David Duchovny.
They weirdly feel
like... I said
like,
Portia de Rossi, but that's just because I feel like they're a good, like...
Yeah. Mix. Well, she'd be great. Yeah. That's funny. I had that same feeling. I don't know if it's something about that guy.
Yeah.
But it's like...
X-Files.
Yes, he reads weirdly like David Duchovny. Maybe it's those fucking suits they run in. Like aluminum foil suits or whatever those were. Beth, thank you so much
for
being here. That was a lot of fun. Tell everybody where to find you online. Anything you want to promote?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Beth Stelling or sweetbeth.com.
Check her out, guys.
Sweet. I'm, Merry Christmas, by the way. I am, DwayneParkins.com is the website. Holla at your boy.
Find him, guys. I'm at TK Kelly Comedy, and also follow us at Movie Nightcast on Twitter. Send us some movie ideas, some game suggestions, some naked pictures, whatever you feel like. Beth, thanks again for being here.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Tune in next week, guys.
You've been listening to Movie Night with Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly. Be sure to like them on Facebook. Just search for Movie Night Podcast Show. And follow them on Twitter. Just search for @MovieNightCast.